Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking at something we often just take for granted, the beard.
Right.
You know, why do men grow them? I think most people just assume it's fashion or maybe genetics, but the source material you sent over, it reveals a much more complex picture.
Oh, absolutely.
We're talking about a piece of evolutionary armor, a psychological status symbol. I mean, it's a cultural artifact that has shaped societies for thousands of years.
That's a perfect way to put it. Our mission here really is to synthesize findings from evolutionary biology, social psychology, and historical analysis to give a comprehensive answer to that one question.
Why does facial hair exist?
And why do we still care so much about it? We're going to unpack the deep science and the, well, the rich cultural tapestry that's been woven around the beard.
And we have some amazing sources for this. Studies on male competition, vivid historical timelines, even the biomechanics of facial hair. It's all designed to make sure you walk away not just knowing that men grow beards, but really why the beard is such a powerful tool, both biologically and socially.
Okay.
Hey, let's unpack this. We have to start where everything starts, right? Evolution.
Always.
The sources make this really compelling case that facial hair is so much more than some leftover trait. It's an adaptation. It's been shaped by centuries of selective pressures.
And those pressures are centered around two main things.
Attracting mates and establishing dominance over rivals. It's like the original, you know, biological advertisement for vigor and vitality.
Precisely. When you look at sexual selection, you see that traits that help an organism reproduce just get amplified over time. The beard is a textbook example of this.
A physical trait that signals something.
It signals to both potential partners and competitors that a male has the right health, the right hormonal profile to, well, to thrive.
And the engine driving this entire biological advertisement is, of course,
testosterone. It has to be.
Testosterone.
It is. It's the primary hormone fueling beard growth. And the timing is just so critical. It surges during puberty, which signifies sexual maturity.
So the beard itself is this clear, irreversible signal that a male has reached biological readiness.
Readiness to compete and to reproduce. Yeah.
What's fascinating, and the sources really point this out, is that the beard has this dual function. It seems almost contradictory.
Right.
Does it look good enough to attract, but also like intimidating enough to deter? How does one trait manage to signal both of those things at the same time?
That's the genius of it. It works by enhancing perceived size and aggression. So in what we call intersexual competition.
It's a male-on-male competition.
Exactly, competition among males. The beard exaggerates the jawline, the bone structure of the face. It makes a man look bigger, maybe older, stronger. It signals dominance.
Okay, so that's the deterring rivals part. What about the attraction?
Well, for intersexual attraction, attracting a mate, those exact same features signal maturity, health, and stability. I mean, you want a partner who can compete and provide, right?
Right.
The beard is basically the billboard for that capability.
So it's not just a sign that you can fight, but that you are mature enough to fight and maybe even win.
Exactly. But we need to move beyond just the look of it, because the sources detail a functional role that's it's genuinely surprising. It gives the beard a much more physical purpose.
Right. This is the idea of the beard as a protective barrier. When I first read that, I just assumed it meant, you know, shielding from the wind or something. But it's way more than that.
It is. There are three key protective functions. First, that environmental fielding you mentioned is real. Research has shown facial hair can offer a modest natural defense against UV radiation.
Like a low-level sunscreen.
Pretty much, yeah. Reducing skin damage, sunburn. But the second function is the really eye-opening one. It connects the beard directly to physical combat.
Impact absorption.
Exactly. Impact absorption. Studies suggest the density and structure of the beard can absorb and disperse force. So imagine a punch to the jaw.
Right.
A thick beard can act as a kind of shock absorber. It could reduce skin cuts, bruising, maybe even injury to the soft tissues underneath. And that function would have been absolutely vital in our past.
So the beard evolved not just to attract, but specifically to keep the jaw intact during a fight. It's a literal piece of evolutionary armor for the face. That's an incredible insight into early survival.
It makes complete sense in an environment governed by physical rivalry. And the third one, just quickly, is thermoregulation, kind of like other body hair, but its main driver really seems to be display and that physical protection.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Let's pivot from the biological field to the social one. We've established the beard as this ancient biological signal. But how did that translate into, you know, modern social dynamics?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about attracting a mate on the savannah anymore. It's about making a statement.
The translation is almost seamless, really, because that underlying drive for dominance is still there. Beards developed culturally as symbols of status and power, just reinforcing that ancient signal.
So today, that same competitive drive shows up in what? Social settings? The office?
Social and professional settings, absolutely. Facial hair is still used, consciously or unconsciously, to assert dominance in a social hierarchy.
And that ties right into how we perceive masculinity itself. The source material is very clear on this. The beard is a powerful visual signifier of power, maturity, and social standing.
It signals experience. When you look at modern perceptions, full-bearded men are often seen as older, more respected, and therefore more powerful.
More authoritative.
But this is where we need to bring in the nuance, which the sources do really well. A clean-shaven look can also signal high status.
Right, but a different kind of status.
A very different kind. A disciplined, regimented, highly controlled status, think military or, you know, corporate control. But without that kind of uniform requirement, the beard powerfully conveys a more natural maturity and standing.
That distinction is so key. It's like men have two paths to signal status. The untamed maturity of the beard, or the disciplined precision of a clean shave.
Precisely. And for the man actually wearing the beard, the psychological impact, the effect on his self-esteem, can be really powerful. We call it the confidence factor.
Tell us more about that. How does a beard actually change a man's self-image?
Well, it can offer a huge boost to self-assurance. For many men, a beard is an aesthetic tool. It can radically change how the face looks, maybe concealing features he might be self-conscious about.
Like a weaker jawline or scars.
Exactly. Receding chin, scars, asymmetry. By enhancing that perceived definition, the man just instantly feels more confident in social settings.
And I imagine just the act of successfully growing one, which takes time and effort, that becomes a source of pride itself.
It's a form of personal fulfillment, for sure. It signals patience, dedication. It aligns his internal self-image of being mature and strong with the external image he's projecting to the world. It's an act of identity. And this complex meaning, this mix of, you know, biological armor and social confidence, is why facial hair has been a central focus throughout human history. The significance of the beard is like a rich tapestry, where the physical thing is constantly being rewoven by culture and ritual.
Let's get into that history, because the value placed on beards just varies so wildly. Sometimes they're sacred, other times they're banned. We need some specific examples here to bring this to life for you.
Okay, consider ancient Egypt. Beards were so crucial to the idea of power that pharaohs, including female pharaohs like Hatshepsut, wore these elaborate false beards.
Made of gold, right?
Gold and lapis lazuli, yeah. The beard wasn't just fashion, it was a literal symbol of divine wealth and authority. It was reserved for the highest social class.
The fact they used a false beard just shows how potent the symbolism was, even without the actual hair.
Absolutely. Now, jump over to Mesopotamia. The sources describe a very stratified system. Soldiers wore long, intricate beards to show battlefield strength. But even more interesting, the law governed beard styles.
By social
class. By social class. Only the elites were allowed to use certain expensive beard oils and elaborate curling irons to get these complex, square-cut styles. It was a visible sign of who had the power.
So facial hair was literally written into law, defining social boundaries. And what about the, you know, the famous associations with just raw physical power?
You immediately think of the Vikings.
Sure.
Their beards were legendary symbols of strength, bravery, masculinity, and they didn't just let them grow. They styled them, braided them, put beads in them. It was part of their identity as fierce warriors. They wore their capability on their face.
Which makes the dramatic swing in Western culture even more astonishing. After centuries of these deep, power-based associations, the sources highlight this huge shift.
The shift was seismic. I mean, in the 1880s, historical evidence suggests something like 90% of men in the West had some form of facial hair.
90%. Wow.
But as the Industrial Revolution took off and ideas of mass hygiene and modern professional life came in, that popularity just plummeted. A clean shave became associated with modernity, efficiency, cleanliness.
Essential traits for the new regulated workplace.
Exactly. And now, today, we see the beard making this huge comeback. But it's more as a form of personal choice and style, not a mandatory cultural norm. It reflects that constant negotiation between our biology, our history, and our individual freedom.
That deep history brings us right to the present day. If you're going to embrace this ancient, potent symbol, you need to know how to do it right. So let's transition to the practical stuff, growth, maintenance, and debunking some myths.
The maintenance part is just non-negotiable. A poorly kept beard sends the opposite signal of everything we just discussed. So for you, if you're learning, achieving a full beard is a commitment. It can take anywhere from 2 to 6 months.
And what about that number one hurdle, that dreaded initial phase, the itchiness?
The notorious itchiness. You have to resist the urge to trim it for the first 4 to 6 weeks. That patience lets everything fill out properly. And that itch, it's common, but you can manage it.
Oh.
Proper washing and early use of beard oil are crucial. They moisturize the skin underneath, which is usually the real source of the problem, and they soften the sharp ends of the new hairs.
And once you get the length, what's the golden rule for trimming?
Always, always trim when the beard is completely dry.
Why is that?
Because wet hair hangs longer than its true dry length. If you shape it while it's wet, you're almost guaranteed that once it dries and shrinks up, it's going to be way shorter and more awkward than you wanted.
Okay, that makes sense. And what about products? Beard oils, conditioners. Can't you just use regular shampoo?
You really should avoid standard shampoos. They strip the natural oils from your face and hair, leading to brittleness and more itchiness. Beard oils and conditioners are specifically designed to hydrate everything.
And the brush.
Oh, the brush is key. It helps direct the hair, trains the shape, improves circulation to the follicles, and exfoliates the skin underneath.
All right, let's pivot to dismantling some misconceptions. Let's start with the biggest one. The myth of the dirty beard.
That is a very difficult myth to kill, but the source material is clear. Beards are not inherently unhygienic. Studies show that a well-maintained beard, one that's washed regularly, poses no greater hygiene risk than a clean-shaven face. Proper care dispels that myth completely.
And the old barbershop wisdom, if you shave it, it'll grow back thicker and faster.
Completely false. Yeah, this is just a visual trick. When you shave, you cut the hair at its widest point, leaving a blunt tip. As that hair grows out, that blunt edge feels coarser and looks darker.
But it doesn't actually change anything biologically.
It has zero impact on the number of hair follicles or the biological growth rate. None.
And finally, the professionalism myth. We've moved away from the idea that your competence is tied to how much you shave.
That's the modern evolution of the beard. I mean, a decade or two ago, a full beard might have been frowned upon in some conservative offices. But perceptions are changing fast.
That's more accepted now.
Most companies now accept tidy, well-groomed facial hair as just a valid form of personal expression. They recognize that appearance, as long as it's neat, has no bearing on professional capability. So, what does this all mean? I think the modern beard is a beautiful synthesis of utility, psychology, and history. It started as, you know, an evolutionary armor plate for the jaw, a visual signal for a competition and attraction. Now it's morphed into this powerful cultural and psychological tool. It's a signifier of identity, of maturity, of personal confidence. Its meaning is elastic, it shifts based on who wears it and where, but its core function that remains to communicate status and strength.
It's a powerful statement. Evolving from physical protection in an ancient fight to boosting self-esteem in a social setting. We've seen that beards once literally helped absorb physical impact. So as you navigate today's world, maybe consider this. Does the social dominance and confidence signaled by a modern, well-groomed beard still serve a similar symbolic protective function in today's competitive professional environment? It's something to mull over the next time you decide whether to pick up the razor or the beard oil. Thank you for taking this deep dive with us into the profound significance of facial hair. We encourage you to explore these layers of biology, history, and psychology further. The deep dive concludes.